Welcome to Talk Cosmos, the show where Sue Rose Minahan and her panel of guests bring you insightful conversations to awaken consciousness for soul growth. Come journey with us through astrology's energetic cycles and get ready to understand your path in the cosmic roots of the stars.
Hello, we survived. Here it is, Talk Cosmos, April 21st. And yesterday was a smack bam, alakazam, Jupiter, Uranus. And of course, that is our conversation in the backdrop because it's happening. It's still happening. The reverberations are going like ba da ba da ba da. And I'm very glad to be here for an individual special, can't drop the special, panel. And it is USA Chiron Return Healing Alchemy. It happens just our natal return, as we'll find out, just minutes after the conjunction. It's all one parcel. But Chiron is essential rites of passage of consciousness growth and development. And healing is a holistic experience. It's not linear. So therefore, this is a very exciting collective healing that we're all embracing. Okay, we are now ready for the slides, and I will present. We have three wonderful panelists, Michael Bartlett with CoreMichael.com, John Chinworth with SkyPath Astro, and Justin Crockett Elsie with his name, Justin Crockett Elsie. And Michael is a consultant, author, speaker, webinars, workshops. He does intensives and experiential intensive facilitators. And Michael does esoteric astrology, like the great Alan, Alan. Yes.
Oaken.
Oaken, of course.
Oaken.
Yes, Alan Clay. So he wrote a couple of books, and I have a picture of it later, Astrological Mavericks. What do you have to take to change the world? This is Uranus speaking, but it's also more than that. It's really an in-depth study. And Astro Theater. Hey, we do Astro Jam. So thank you, Michael. It's a treat, and I love your wisdom. Oh, and also, Michael was a past interim president of Kepler College, and there you can still find him doing webinars and workshops. Thanks. We now have John Chinworth of SkyPathAstro.com. And John's a consultant. He's a conference lecturer and speaker, and he loves mythologies, a mythologist like myself, and a poet. He has 20-plus years of experience. He graduated and has a diploma from the International Academy of Astrology, IAA. I think it's the oldest school. Maybe in the Northwest. I'm not quite sure. But it's been around for a long, long time. He has lectured at NORWAC, and he teaches daily and mentors developmentally disabled and resource students, which has really primed John with an exceptional reconciliation energy. And he's also for many years served on the board of Washington State Astrological Association. Hi, John. Great to have you.
Hello. Good to be back.
And now we have Justin Crockett Elsie. And his website is Justin Crockett Elsie, the whole deal. And Justin's an archetypal Jyotish astrologer, yoga and meditation teacher, a Buddhist and author. And he combines both Western ancient astrology and modern psychological astrology with Eastern Vedic astrology. He specializes in predictive electional and karmic astrology. And he offers healing remedial modalities for your psychological mental health. And thankfully, as you will see, Justin does research in arcane astrological concepts on the mystical occult side. And he helped a lot with the research which I asked for and came out with, you'll see. And he's a certified yoga meditation instructor. Thank you, Justin. Great to have you. And myself. I'm a consultant, lecturer, and a writer and a mythologist. And I founded Talk Cosmos. I have a Dwarf Planet University graduate and some different music degrees that I love, and I'm a Toastmaster and do art and whatnot. So let's get the gang here, these wonderful panelists. That's Michael, John, and Justin. Chiron, it's a bridge between inner and outer planets. It's 50 and a half years approximately. It's the first centaur, which is half man. I think women can be centaurs, but we really think of it as a man, half man, human, and horse. So it's a mediator between the material and the spiritual. Any comments? Should we roll? Yeah, a master healer. He taught the gods. He's a wounded healer. This is prime to the concept and archetypal understanding of Chiron. And essentially an alchemist because of this. Alchemy is like put two things and you get more. The mythology, and join in here, this is wonderful picture from the British Museum. And Chiron was, his student was Hercules, who did the 12 labors. And he had returned to visit his teacher. And they asked Pholus, another centaur, who held the wine vats, to open them. Well, the other centaurs weren't of the same educated concepts, and they rioted. Hercules, he'd used arrows to kill and just shot them off to stop it, but they had been dipped in poison from the Hydra, which is a dragon that had part of his labors, and it struck Chiron and incurred an incurable wound of great pain. And it was only death that would liberate him. And interestingly, there's so much, this is like books on this subject, and there's other topics. We did one in December 3 with Tracy Quinnall, and we just did one with Leslie Francis and Laura Tad on the 3rd of this month in April about Chiron. But Zeus said if somebody would offer themselves in death, he would free Prometheus, who had given or stolen, depending on how you look at it, fire to humanity. And this was a no-no. And you wonder why. Well, it's because fire is spirit, and you must remember the spirit. You can't just be running around with all that great ego without thanks. So in other words, he chained to a rock and his liver was eaten daily by an eagle because it grew back every day. We're talking spirit here. I mean, we're talking the gods. At any rate, he was not left in Hades, and he was put up in the constellation, which means the star patterns of Sagittarius. So there's always more depth to the melodrama, and that's the beauty of mythology. But livers represent grief. And so Chiron has, according to Louise Hayes and other, and the myth is a resolution, interconnections. It represents your emotional wounds, your greatest, your ability to heal, the wisdom you can share with others. And Eva Stangenberg, a German astrologer, really presents what I think is vital to realize, because healing is like, oh, is the scab over? No, there's sometimes residue. All wounds are not forgotten. It's a process, it's an emotion, but you can live as not whole and work with it. And it's understanding, and it's this experience with others, and it's compassion and making a connection. Let's go to the Sabians and let my panel talk.
Hey, Sue.
Yes.
The other I like to include for Chiron is teacher, educator, facilitator.
Oh.
Because if there's anything that Chiron was, first of all, Chiron is the only centaur who actually has a pedigree because he is of Zeus. So he's one of the rare others. The others are really basically remain nameless except for his wife. And I probably will bastardize the name and Chericle. So I think that's where it's really good, where the feminine comes in. But I think it's really nice because it's this way that we learn in the most precarious ways. Through our wounding, through our experience of being other or somehow not enoughness, which especially when it comes into the Aries, you know, not having the right simply to be, right, is this aspect with it. So how that informs us how to actually teach others to be, and through the teaching of others is actually how we learn so much for ourselves.
Mm. Profound. Thank you, Michael. And my apology, I was we had such a packed agenda. Usually, sorry. I would ask, no, no way. I just jumped in. You have to maybe go like this and have a, you know, like the hook off the table. No, that's so brilliant. Say again your first sentence that you indicated, if you would. Chiron is also
The teacher, educator, facilitator.
Yes.
So absolutely. It's really nice. It's kind of almost in a way, and it really doesn't, I don't want to say that it doesn't start happening until you've healed your wound, but it helps when you're on your path of healing and addressing your own wound, that then you learn like, oh my gosh, this is what something that I can help others who have to deal with these issues.
Yes. And it is that sharing. Absolutely.
With Chiron, I like to add another archetype to that, the bridge builder, because he's half human, half horse. He's between the what we see in the solar system, what we don't see. So he comes into view and out of view, even though the planetoid itself is no bigger than New Hampshire. But anyway, he's reaching out to help people cross the bridge to get better, because he's kind of went across the bridge first, you know?
It is between these two planets, but you're right, that sense of nature. I tend to assume that in talking, I mean, I don't assume it. It's like the elephant in the room. Yes, indeed. It's really embracing that nature of us, the spirit. Thank you.
We're already off to the spot. But I mean, in a way, what's really great about it is this, what it speaks to always is this aspect of self-responsibility. And Chiron was such a wise teacher in that sort of a way that he realized, you know, I am an immortal and yet I am being poisoned by a poison that actually he created.
I know,
which is the ironic aspect.
It is.
And how we do that for ourselves. Usually when we look at the things that we do on ourselves, that's where the term, you know, we are our own worst enemies. We really are. We're almost always constantly finding ways to
We're separating all the time. Yeah, yes. From nature. And then we're projecting and thinking it's somebody else. And it can happen in minute little ways. And it's tricky because you might think, oh, I've got this down. No, it's around the corner. There's another layer to it. Yes, indeed. It's so true. And we'll continue. There's a little bit more further. Excellent. The Sabians. Now, Justin, you're going to talk about the three because Sabians is rounded off one, but there's this whole idea of before, present, and after, because it's a story. Nothing is just one thing. It's a process. So,
absolutely. And I got to apologize. The parade just is walking by now. It's just as I'm on the air. But, you know, that's Murphy's Law here. But, you know, and I know John likes the Sabians as well. So I think it's a great way to look at sort of an archetypal themes that we see that's coming into this. And I'll just say that the 19 degrees and the 20 degrees both speak to this thing around creativity, imagination, that visionary, and looking at our relationships through the lens of compassion and love, ultimately leading to this 21 degrees, the overwhelming power of individuals. And I'm just curious what John thinks about that.
Oh, well, I think of the American Chiron being at that degree, and it's a fighter. I think that maybe our fighter might be a little bit tired. It's been fighting for a long time. I took a mundane astrology class with Jack Furtig, and he talked about the fifth house of the U.S. chart. Well, the fifth house of any country's chart is the arts. And Jack Furtig said, we have Aries on that cusp of that house. And so Americans like the hot new thing. And so Chiron is in there. And I think about American art and how we try to express the pain that we're going through, maybe more than other countries, and how it suddenly, now we're looking at this, and now we have to look at this because of how diverse our population is. So I think that's an interesting thing about our placement of Chiron nationally, of course. Did that make any sense? I hope it did.
Well, absolutely. You caught me with the graphics because Aries and Taurus are very art oriented. They're pre-verbal. And so I was just reflecting on all the art forms. And anyway, I got lost in my thoughts. Yes.
Wounded warriors using art to help heal themselves. Maybe that's also a connection.
Yes.
Yeah.
Art.
That's
therapy.
So true. do we want to, Jupiter and Uranus are there because the whole chart, as we will see, is powerful. And we've covered it before, but the white dove flying over troubled waters, James Burgess, who also studies Dame Rujar, suggests that this is where we look for signs, yes, outside of things. Thanks, Michael.
Well, one of the things I was thinking, because I was really concerned with this energy coming up with the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction, with what's going on in the Middle East, and I was actually very surprised, hello Uranus, how Israel decided to respond. Because in the Middle East, a response is kind of expected, like not to respond kind of creates like something that's not right by the way that they view things. But they did it in such a way that it didn't escalate it. And so I was like, oh my gosh, you know, there actually might be some hope for us as human beings.
That was yesterday on the news, right?
Yeah.
Yes, right. I noticed too. I thought just the facial expression, everything was so conciliatory and powerful, yeah, cooperative.
You know, the outward expression, but like, a show of force. It was actually more like what one would almost consider a 4th of July parade for the country, in a sense of expression.
Yeah,
but not anything was meant to create, not with the intention of creating further damage or escalation. And that alone, like, I mean, my whole body has goosebumps over that one. I mean, really, in an area that an eye for an eye has been such the issue for so long.
And with this,
they're starting to understand the blindness that occurs when we're only single-eyed.
Yeah, I know. I think of the McCoys and the Hatfields and Romeo and Juliet. I mean, there's ancient stories. Let's go on.
And, you know, well, I want to say one more thing about what John and I were talking about a little bit was that, you know, one of the great things about the United States is it always has been sort of this innovative, creative country that brings in people and they're creative, you know?
Yes. The Nakshatra. Justin, I love hearing the...
Yeah, so the Lunar Mansion, which this is in, is called Ravdi. And it's actually one of the solar deities, Bhushan. And it relates to this altruistic energy and protector. And it's creative because in the Jyotish or Vedic, it's Pisces. It's very creative. It's visionary. And if you look at our country, we've always, a lot of the immigrants that have always come to this country, whether it's Einstein and others, have always been these visionaries. And it's when we're open to that in this country, we attract visionary, creative types. And so it speaks to what ultimately that degree is supposed to be, which is supposed to be altruistic and valuing and nourishing to the individuals of the individual self. And valuing that. And that's really what this Nakshatra speaks to. It's actually the basis above and below is cows and calves, which is about being nourished and protecting and being altruistic to individuals.
It's so appropriate, I think, for the Chiron return. It shows the greatest wound of our nation. I'm always interested in the pre-eclipse for a nation or a person. And ours happens to be at 00 Pisces in the 11th house. So that Piscean energy, I've always wondered, and you've really explained how it does come through and the positiveness of it, because visionary is, you know, creates, it's so powerful. Thank you. Now, this is the question. We the people, but who belongs here? Aries is about identity. And I think, Michael, we're going to expand on this whole concept because we have a focus that we're going to continue with. But there have been four previous Chiron returns since the natal time, and we'll go through those. And as we're working on our selfhood, it's a constant process. And like you had mentioned in a comment, Michael, the wound in the melting pot. Yes, yes, yes. Now, remember, this is every 50 and a half years cycle. So, and Justin really researched this. I want to give him big applaud right now. Thank you. Because I was asking, I was thinking identity. And let's talk a little bit here, Michael, about, because we're saying we have these three themes. who belongs, who's considered an American, and is a constant struggle with our culture and our philosophy. And with that, there's a lot of national firsts that prompt this. And then the presidential or leader, there's interestingly a number of issues that we'll find out as it goes. And I'm going to shut my doors in a moment. Can you hear the birds and everything in the background? No. Okay.
A little bit.
A little bit? Okay. Second half, it'll be quieter. Just a little bit, my friend.
So I think it's nice to hear the birds. I don't think that's a problem. Again, bringing nature in, right?
I mean,
integration is so important to have. I think that's, you know, part of our separation. Because when we think back to this time back in the 18th century, when we were becoming our own country, it was this issue of individuating from divine right. The king was someone whose family was, you know, placed by God in the way we were taught. Back, we have to consider, like, back then, we didn't think of things outside of the church and outside of royalty. There really wasn't another option. And so to think of these people, these upstarts who came over and started this, you know, settled these different states, decided to become a country. And also, I mean, it actually also has to deal with, we have to consider, and we often forget, you know, these were very wealthy white men who were running the country. They, you know, they came out and they created vast, amazing fortunes for themselves. Some of them went bankrupt, like our founding fathers, unfortunately, in the pursuit of being supportive of the country. They understood what needed to happen. But I think the interesting thing now, we're coming to this time where I think the new God or the new divine right is corporation. And I think we're in this process of, you know, I don't think we can move forward with this idea of having 10 companies ruling our food supply. That's not a tenable situation with all the monocropping that goes on.
No, we need
this idea of commodification of things that are necessary for one's existence. Just this whole, you know, needs to switch, because none of us can have the benefit of believing in our inherent specialness if we aren't getting the nutrients we need.
It's
a whole nother topic when it comes to culture.
It's a real irony that the country formed on the basis of the individual is now, it's like they're under the thumb of a group of like these powerful people. Just kind of.
But that's the cycle, right? But that's the cycle.
Yet, remembering our natal chart, we have a south node in Aquarius at 6 degrees, and we have a moon at 27 degrees Aquarius. So we have this natural sense of networking and a group, which is an oxymoron. I mean, we all have, I think, here a fair amount of Aquarian energy in different ways. And you want a group of like-minded people, and it's going to be so, but suddenly it gets elitist, and then it gets to be, and then the group might be in control, and then you don't want to be a part of it, you know?
Well, the idea of council originally was that you would have people on your council who did not agree with you, because you wanted to have the understanding of how people didn't think like you. And the hard part now is no one wants to hear someone else's opinion. Yep. Talk about bringing in compassion that needs to come back. I think the compassion needs to understand that. I think this comes back to nature, is like, the only fear that happens in our lives is personal attacks and getting, you know, canceled or whatever by culture. And we take these things way too seriously. They have really literally no bearing on our existence. And yet we give them such great gravitas in our lives.
Well, you know, you see that judging individuals in the chart, because the Saturn is in Libra opposing Chiron. And that Saturn in Libra can be very judging. Oh, you don't belong, or we're going to set a high bar for immigration. It's a very judging of individuals. And again, like the what Michael was just saying, kind of this can be exclusionary to who belongs and who does not belong. Is that Saturn's judging that Chiron?
Yeah, it's an unfortunate part of Saturn, because when it judges without, is a cardinal sign. And instead of taking further action, I mean, this is something I've thought about and people have discussed and whatnot, and you're bringing this up very vividly, that it needs to just be a calculated assessment so that you can make more motion. But instead, we've gotten into this judgment. You're going to, you know, you're being punished. As you can see, yes, with Chiron was. Shall we begin with these cycles? And we can't, because ideally we'll get them. Well, we won't finish them. But starting off in 1825 to 26, there were treaties, six of them, where the Native American nation ceded territory in culture. And Justin, you brought these up. But the first history was written of the American literature, which had previously been European. Last of the Mohicans was written. And there was a warship that went around the globe, Vicinis. And the issues of presidency was it was a contested election. John Quincy Adams was voted into the House of Representatives. And he's the son of John Adams, who died, along with Thomas Jefferson on the 50th anniversary, which is a Chironic signature of the Declaration of Independence. Should we move on? Otherwise.
And Thomas Jefferson and John Adams were notorious frenemies, but they respected each other and they sent letters back and forth. So that's kind of a Chironic thing working out.
Yeah.
Opposite ends of the political spectrum, but respecting each other and hearing each other's ideas.
Beautiful. So then we go up to the Reconstruction era. And again, Justin, thank you. Who belongs? Well, again, it's the Indians, a lot of wars and engagement with what happened was a little bighorn later on as a development the next year. Apaches forced off their land. Women's suffrage began, or didn't begin, but it started to expand. And civil rights actually outlawed racial discrimination in public accommodations and jury duty, which is amazing. And maybe because they needed people, huh? We need more people on the jury. It wasn't also, I'm sorry, I'm being a little bit. Yes. So then there were some Familia Tong Wars, Asian in San Francisco, which was a big population of that community, and Emancipation Day in Puerto Rico. But the first were a postal, U.S. postal card, and the presidentials were that Fillmore and Johnson died and Herbert Hoover was born. And it's interesting that these presidents either born or die on a Chironic return. I mean, you can say, well, maybe, but still, there it is. It wasn't 3 years before or after. It's fascinating. So then we're going to go a little past 1923 to 25, which is the Roaring Twenties, as we know. Yes, indeed. Who belongs? Well, there was a massacre of African-Americans in Rosewood, Florida. A Supreme Court case, which is just shocking, said that this man, Bhagat Singh, wouldn't be naturalized because being a Punjabi Sikh, he was not a white person. Like, when was that ever in the Constitution? Any rate, Asian Exclusion Act banning Asian immigration. And Justin, you might want to comment on this because that really instigated further problems with Japan in World War II because they didn't like that. Like, what are you doing kicking us out?
Right. And
a lot of them helped build our train system.
Yep.
The early railroads. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, yeah.
No, you're right. You're right, John. And the Japanese were our allies during World War I. And so then when they say that this actually, after World War I, pushed Japan into Germany's arms, and that's why they ended up at World War II. And because they were really upset about this whole ban on Asian immigration in the United States.
Yeah, and you can see that we didn't go into that with a Sabian symbol. But part of that Sabian symbol was the, interestingly, this about exertion. Like, you can do it and you can achieve, but on the other hand, it's just blindsided. It's just going forward. So there's all these hidden shadows kind of coming out. So it's more about the Indians and more about Asians. Terrible. There was an Indian Citizens Act, which possibly could have been good, but... Go ahead. Yes.
I was just thinking a lot of these, when you think about it as an overall effect each time, these are all very cardinal experiences, right? These are very these are setting trends that last for a long time. These are conclusions and beginnings of presidential beings, which incidentally, as I'm sure all of you know, each one of our presidents have significant alignments with our country's natal chart. There's always that kind of alignment with the charts themselves. So it's understandable that, you know, these Chironic events are going to be happening also for some of them very personally. Each time.
And your thought about that you brought up about large corporations, here we go. Walt Disney, Columbia Pictures, MGB, MGM. Of course, I like those. I wouldn't think those were so terrible, but they're still corporations.
Go and work for them, right?
Yeah.
And or get in a lawsuit with one of them, to be honest. You know, the ruthlessness. I mean, these are really ruthless. I mean, talk about Aries warriorship in these areas. I mean, these companies are incredibly ruthless. I mean, thanks to what Disney did, the normal trademark periods used to be a lifetime plus a certain number of years, and the Disney Corporation was able to expand the Mickey Mouse trade. It just literally became available as of the beginning of this year.
Wowie.
And I might note on that prior slide, it's important. There's one thing we need to point out, that Jimmy Carter was born during that Chiron return, because it's now we're having another Chiron return, and he's really in hospice now. So that's kind of interesting, the birth and then in hospice.
Pushing his second Chiron return, yeah,
especially
right?
Especially for a soul that builds houses and went internationally. Well, we are beyond our half hour mark, and I know we have a ton more to do. But I guess if we can quickly sign off. Nate, sign us off. We'll be back. Don't go away, folks. We have Justin Crockett, Elsie, and John Chinworth, and Michael Bartlett, and we're talking about the alchemy happening. Okay, we'll be back. We're healing. Thank you. While we take a break from this week's edition of Talk Cosmos, let's take a look at this cycle's archetype. We're currently in the period of Taurus. By leaving a cycle based upon initiation, the energy of Taurus integrates spirit into a solid form of matter that is tangible and physical. It's an earth sign, concerned with self-sufficiency and the values to maintain the strength of a life form throughout its survival.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to NewProSupplements.com, we cover the world of animals. This week, April 28th, it's an encore presentation. Join us to hear our last healing show with Dr. Nels and Linda Rasmussen. Together, they helped listeners and their animal friends with emotional, behavioral, and physical issues. And you can receive a surrogate healing just by listening and following along with Linda's instructions. Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Talk Cosmos brings insightful conversations to awaken consciousness for the soul growth with hour-long programs every Sunday at 1 p.m. Pacific on KKNW. Talk Cosmos weekly programs are also available to watch live on the Talk Cosmos YouTube channel and Facebook page. While you're there, make sure you click the like and subscribe buttons so you get the full Talk Cosmos experience. Or if you'd rather listen to the show archives with audio only, the entire podcast collection since 2018 is available on most podcast carriers. And to find out about upcoming programs, sign up for the newsletter at TalkCosmos.com. So grab your coffee, tea, or kombucha and enjoy the show.
Organic, free range, and fresh daily. Alternative Talk 1150.
Okay, we are back again, and we're going to go right through this. We always announce what our panelists are doing. And Michael Bartlett wrote Astrological Mavericks. And it is available. He's been giving various talks. You can go on his website or YouTube channel and probably find out what he's a little bit about this. And Michael was on Talk Cosmos, so you can check that out too. Thank you, Michael. Any other comment? No. Okay.
No, just a pleasure being on your show. Thank you so much.
It's a mutual treat. And John Chinworth. And sorry about your name there, Skypath Astro. And you can contact him at archerstars@gmail.com. And this is just one of his talks that I pulled up, and he was at NORWAC. But a very interesting idea. John, you've got really fascinating things, and I know you have things under wraps that you're never going to mention until they are actually produced.
I know, happy. I'm so shy.
I know. You and Johnny Depp, same water rabbit. So here we go. And Justin Crockett Elsie. Now, Justin has a monthly Mars forecast that he does on Instagram and Ask the Astrologer series. And he, like I, are working with Liz, on her YouTube channel, but you can find them on my podcast and on Justin's podcast. I'm doing a Astrology Star Sisters, and we just did one on this subject of Uranus and Jupiter, but next one's going to be Jupiter in Gemini. Now, I'm signing off to you, Justin. Any comments about other things?
No, it's all good. It's all good.
Okay. Anyway, we appreciate everybody's interest. Oh, and I'm doing a blog, so check that out weekly. And here's Talk Cosmos, and you can just put your little camera on there and sign, find out about it. So we are beginning again, because everything that we see, Martin Luther King says, is a shadow cast by something that we didn't see. That's a good way of looking at things. And I think Chiron sort of speaks to that.
If you go back to that list of the Chiron hits, the one in the 1970s, I remembered something that happened in 1972. Geraldo Rivera went to the Willowbrook State School and filmed everything that was going on there.
Oh, you know what? That's right, because we got lost. We didn't.
We need to go back to that.
Nate, can you get me back there to something? I have trouble. Nope, back, yeah. Back.
Sorry.
Retrograde.
No, I was going to say retrograding. The same thing.
Cool. Mercury is.
There we go.
One
more. Yes. 71.
So Geraldo Rivera visited the Willowbrook State School. I think it's in New York, in 1972, and he filmed it, and he saw how horrifically the people lived there, and public outcry happened, and they closed it in 1987, the Harmonic Convergence, right? And this caused a federal civil rights legislation to protect people with disabilities. That's a totally Chiron thing.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, and if we think of the anniversary of Roe versus Wade.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
That's another one.
To be honest, wow. I think what people have a hard time understanding with that part is, from a purely legal standpoint, from what I understand from the beginning, there was a way that it wasn't really written properly. And subsequent justices said this needs to go back to our legislatures. And that's never been really handled. And that's really what, I mean, people say, oh, you know, because of Trump, this really happened. But it's, in a way, it's also because of proper law, in a sense, as far as our constitutionality is concerned.
Interesting.
But whether that needs also change, because the truth is, you know, the Constitution was written at a time when, you know, rights were not equal for women, were not equal for people of color, people who were gay, for that matter.
And I might also note that the Endangered Species Act was passed. So we expanded that sense of who belonged or the value of individuals. And so we start to look at other species here as the importance of that individual.
They are
critical to the value of the nation and who of ourself and who we are.
We can thank every hippie for that. I lived right all through that. I wasn't participating at that moment because I was caught up in stuff, but there were tree huggers, and it was, you know, people couldn't believe, what do you mean this little owl, this little teeny bird, or what? No, but yet it started up huge.
And when you think about it, these are all like cycles of becoming, right? These are cycles of understanding. Each time this is Chiron coming around and having had an experience of going through each of the signs and what that means and the awareness of what that means. And, oh, we didn't know that, you know, calling people certain things was really considered derogatory. It was just a way that back in the day of how we categorize and how we were able to understand, you know, how we looked at things. But then when it became, I really like to think of the idea of, because one of those movies captured it so well, but when our photography moved from black and white to color, it was like, that was then, like, we started to have this ability to understand things really aren't black and white. We begin to understand it is really literally 50 shades of gray.
I remember that too.
We're not in Kansas anymore.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, I remember seeing that, and I was born way after, you know, colorized films, but I mean, the experience of seeing it happen. And that was one of two films, that Gone with the Wind and The Wizard of Oz, were the two first films being in color that year in 1939, right. I want to say.
Yes, it was.
And so it was just this idea of, I mean, literally, and if you can see those clips when news channels switched over and other things, it was like, I get goosebumps because it was like, it's this opening and widening up. Like in that movie, it was like all of a sudden a woman's red lips began to form, because then what you realize is they began to have passion. They began to live. They began to understand that rules are okay, but rules aren't how people typically live.
It's good. Thank you. I'm going to just go through these and we're going to go one by one. Book bans and the immigration, transgender, and Trump as the first president to be facing criminal charges. So however that goes, that is a first.
And not wanting to allow for an appropriate transfer of power, which was such an important aspect of every single president since Washington.
Even Nixon knew the jig was up and he stepped down. He had the decency to do so.
That's huge. But when you have someone with Regulus and the Mars and your ascendant, having a God complex, I think really doesn't quite get to the fullness of the expression. And people haven't been checking him until now.
This is why we have statesmen in office. We vet them. What's the background? What have they been through?
Yeah. Well, we shall find out. I'm just trying to roll along. And it's perfect. It's perfect. But I'm thinking, isn't this why we have three hits right now, our transits? That April 20th, yesterday, then one 3 days after the election on November 8th, and then early in 25. So we're going to find out really what happens with all this political, that you say, this checks and balances that you're mentioning, that's so critical to have a democracy, is what we stand on.
And I know we don't have it on the slides, but this solar eclipse we just had actually was at the 19 degrees right on the Chiron. So again, back to the 19, 20, and 21 degrees there, that solar eclipse.
Mythologically, we're just going to scan this quickly, but it is in Taurus. That's about survival and resources. Jupiter is about growth. And Uranus is a visionary, the great awakener. And
grandfather and grandson.
Yes.
This is family. Zeus. This is Zeus. This is Uranus, who began the swallowing of the children, and Zeus who ended it.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, that's true. It's like, you know, it is like that thing, like Martin Luther King said, what's obstructing it is something you can't see. So by hiding it, you can't deal with it. You've got to get your wounds out.
These planets are saying, what we're doing now isn't working, and we need to expand our vision to meet the demands of today, and we're not doing it. We need to grow. There are solutions. We got to stop thinking like this and start opening up our minds, and because we have solutions.
You three are the greatest panelists. If I didn't pack so much in here, I would be – thank you.
I think on the recording, you have to just turn the speed up about a half a notch, and you'll be able to squeeze it all into that hour.
Well, it's
live. Sound like chipmunks.
What happens will happen.
We'll be there.
You can't do that. Yeah. So, you know, interestingly, we're focusing just a smidgen on this, and we did a great long one with Laura Tad earlier. And you can check Planet Buzz. Generally, this is a new cycle we're in. It lasts for 677, it's five, almost 600 years. Then it starts from 30 down to 0 degrees. So this, we've had two prior, and Abraham Lincoln did a great speech, House Divided, in 1858, which is interestingly the way it starts. And I just wanted to go a little bit into some of these, because we include them, but Jupiter and Uranus represents freedom and authenticity. But Nessus is, thanks to Justin, I do include it. And that's a centaur, half animal, half man. And it represents not the easy things, abuse, betrayal, emotional wounds, the deepest shadow that we have. And it's our personal trauma, which can be all these difficult things, from the worst, rape, abuse, suicide, mass extermination, you know, just as an example. But in other words, it's like things that you have to deal with. And it's because in the story, there is a whole mythology about that. But essentially, it's the difficult parts of it. I just wanted to bring this up, and we'll jump ahead, that they are just about 45 minutes apart yesterday. That first it was the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction, and then it was Jupiter, and then it was, thank you, Sue, the Chiron return for the United States. And the two differences are, is the moon was at the anaretic degree of 29 degrees Virgo, and now it's at the highest point, one of the cardinal points of 0 degrees Libra. And the other is the ascendant. It went for the United States from Washington, D.C., Eastern time, went from 3 degrees Sag to 13, almost 14 degrees, which we could call as the galactic attractor at 14 degrees Sag. But it's also conjunct the Sibley chart, which many people use, and I often do. It's a 5:10 p.m. chart for that. So I thought, isn't that fascinating reconnection?
The other thing that's really interesting, too, is when you consider that Jupiter and Uranus get together usually every 13, 14 years, that it's only been conjunct in Taurus 6 times in the last 1,000 years.
Yes.
It's really quite, when you consider,
Well, you know what? I did a whole thing for 2,000 years, and it's because they have over 600 years apart, and they last 600 years, but the fewest are in Taurus. You're absolutely right.
It's amazing, yeah. So this is really setting the stage for something new, I believe, yeah.
It is, and it's about this material, isn't it? It's about the spiritual and the material that we're dealing with.
Yeah.
This is the actual chart, and after this will be the one with the USA chart.
The other thing from an esoteric standpoint that I think is important to note is that Uranus is the modern ruler of Aquarius and Jupiter is the esoteric ruler. So that really ties to me in that it actually adds another level of interest to this. And the other thing is, especially after the great mutation which we now will be having between Jupiter and Saturn and air signs, that it's nice to have something grounded in this position, but Uranus is involved, or I should say, and Uranus is involved.
Especially the sky with Gaia. Yeah. The primordial God. Justin, you're thinking back there. Are you waiting, or do you?
I'm waiting till we get to the Sibley chart.
Okay.
Because I don't want to focus too much on Jupiter Uranus, because I want to focus on Chiron.
Okay, that's good.
Because this is the Chiron show here, so yeah. I want to focus on
right.
Chiron.
And I just wanted to show here Chiron. It is conjunct. That's all that this one is. Here we go, U.S. Sibley. And I hope this has some sense to it. There is that T-square with our natal Sun, Saturn, square, a releasing point, yes? With the South Node transiting it. And as it was very well brought up by you, Justin, about the fact that we're making too much of a measurement and a decree of morality with Capricorn or Saturn, because perhaps it is authority, and using that authority in more of a ego way rather than us working with spiritual, for lack of other words, or the greater source of things, to, you know, like using the signs like the dove, however we want to relate to it, but it's not just us. And when you look at where we're headed, the heart of Venus with the Chiron, 19 degrees, they just were conjunct. Their Chiron's just separating. And the thought of Mercury, there's a lot here to suggest. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
We were talking about, so Chiron's with Venus and Mercury in the North Node. So we need to work on that North Node. And Mercury is saying, open up the lines of communication. And Venus is saying, do it lovingly. So it really is a call to a gentle kind of action, perhaps. More Chiron stuff.
Justin,
there you go.
Turn. Justin.
No, I was going to say, Sue, what is Nessus in the Sibley chart?
That's Nessus. It's Nessus. Nessus.
Yeah, but what degree is it in? What sign? Because I can't see it.
Oh, 19. I'm sorry. It's 19
what?
Pisces.
Onessus. 19 Pisces. Yeah.
So it's Saturn is 15 Pisces. Nessus is 19 Pisces. And Mars is 22 Pisces. So Nessus is right between them as the midpoint. But
I mean, in the U.S. chart, not in the.
Oh, pardon me. Yes, I'm so sorry. It's not very. Oh, I know what I did accidentally.
Looks like 9 degrees.
Yes, it's 9 degrees
Pisces.
When I copied this, I did up.
Right.
I made a.
So that could mean that, you know, one of the things with Nessus and Sag in the U.S. chart is about making sure that, and that again goes back to belief systems. And how we, you know, the United States a lot of times pushes out its belief systems and its beliefs, and it can, you know, manipulate or hold over people. If you don't do it this way, then we're going to pull money here and that. So there can be some manipulation with belief systems with the Nessus and Sag as, you know, something that we're learning not to do.
Thank you.
Is that natal Nessus in Sagittarius?
Yeah, no. Natal is in Pisces. They're both in Pisces.
They're both in Pisces. I thought you said it was in Sag.
Oh, no, it's in Pisces. It's
okay.
Nessus is at 9 degrees Pisces, so it's
I've got a Sabian symbol.
Moving.
Are you guys ready for this?
Around.
Go for it.
Yes.
For Nessus. An aviator pursues his journey, flying through ground-obscuring clouds.
Wow, can you say that one more time?
An aviator pursues his journey, flying through ground-obscuring clouds, so not seeing what he's flying over.
Blind.
But he continues anyway.
Trust. It's trust. I mean, that's right? Like a trust element with Pisces, right? There's faith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or a sense of. Mm-hmm. Visions of Shirley MacLaine flying down the mountain. Not
and what's the one prior to that, John? What's the one prior to that?
The degree?
Yeah.
Or the Sabian?
Yeah,
a jockey spurs his horse, intent on outdistancing his rivals.
Ah, that's the competition, the competitive, yes. Yeah, very competitive. As a country, we're very competitive.
And
yes.
That goes back down to that Sabians of the effort, the push, and it's Aries too, Chiron and Aries. We're thinking we have to do, and we're starting off new, and it's an action-oriented. You can bump into a lot of things, people.
More Sibley, Justin?
Yeah, I'm just looking at this. Go ahead. What were you going to say, Michael?
I feel like I've taken up a lot more time than
needed.
This
is the second one that's going to be right after the election. And we're not really having time for this, but I thought people are going to wonder, or maybe I just want to be more inclusive. It's like, put the smorgasbord on. And so Mars is going to be out of bounds. And in fact, Jupiter is going to conjunct our natal one. We're definitely going to have action-oriented thoughts. That's just the starters.
Well,
then if you go to
that's huge. The Jupiter and Gemini on the natal Mars. That's like a lot of communications. Just like everybody's going to be wanting to say something or have their say with that one. You know.
Yes, because Jupiter has a voice.
Stories, right? It's playing telephone in school.
Well, I remember Obama said. Democracy was messy, and that's going to be the big finger painting on the wall. You know, we're going to really doing it. Here we have the third one in February, and again, Mars is pretty active, but here Jupiter now is going to our natal Uranus. And interestingly, those two are back again, but in a different system. Instead of being this motion together, they're augmenting on a bigger our sense of authenticity, maybe. We'll have to wait and find out. Plus the sun and the moon. So that's going to be pretty pivotal too. Here, I think, thankfully we made the last. It's when we start working together that the real healing takes place. David Hume, Scottish philosopher, and Yoko Ono, healing yourself is connected with healing others, which I think is so brilliant. And there's a few there. Should I show any slides, or are you ready to just see our faces? Oh my goodness, what a PowerPoint.
That's what you look like.
Yeah, I know. We've got sequels. Justin?
What a pleasure.
No, I was just going to say it'll be interesting near the end of the year when Mars is going to go retrograde. And, you know, in the it goes into Leo, then goes retrograde back into Cancer, which is about family. And so we're going to be doing a lot of reassessing our family.
And here in Aries, we're looking to Mars already, so it's somewhat tied in. Well, there's got to be hope. And thank you, everybody. U.S. Chiron Return Healing Alchemy. May yours be splendid and expansively embraceive. Thank you, Justin and Michael and John.
Thank you for joining an insightful conversation on Talk Cosmos, the show where Sue Rose Minahan and her panel of guests awaken consciousness by connecting soul growth patterns with astrology's energetic cycles. Be sure to tune in next Sunday, 1 p.m. Pacific time, to continue your journey through the roots of the cosmic pathway.